Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 2, The Symptoms of Kali Yuga, Text 4. Lingam.
Lingam.
Oh. We don't have sheets. Lingam,
lingam
evashrama,
evashrama
kyata,
kyata
anyonya pati karanam avritya nyaya darbalya panditye chapalam vacha lingam eva shrama kyata anyonya pati karanam
anyonya pati karanam
avritya nyaya daubalyam
avritya nyaya daubalyam
panditye chapalam vacha
panditye chapalam vacha
lingam eva shrama kyata
lingam eva shrama kyata
anyonya pati karanam avritya nyaya darbalya panditye chapalam vacha lingam eva shrama kyata anyonya pati karana avritya nyaya darbalya panditye chapalam vacha
panditye chapalam vacha
the external symbol
eva
merely ashrama kyata. In knowing a person's spiritual order, anyonya, mutual apati of exchange, karana, the cause, avritya,
by lack of livelihood.
Nyaya,
nyaya,
incredibility,
incredibility.
Daubalya,
the weakness.
Panditye,
panditye,
in scholarship.
Chapala,
tricky.
Vacha,
words. Translation. A person's spiritual position will be ascertained merely according to external symbols. And on that same basis, people will change from one spiritual order to the next. A person's propriety will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living. And one who is very clever at juggling words will be considered a learned scholar. Purport. The previous verse stated that in the age of Kali, the priestly class will be recognized by external symbols alone. And this verse extends the same principle to the other orders of society, namely the political or military class, the business or productive class, and finally the laborer or artisan class. Modern sociologists have demonstrated that in those societies chiefly governed by the Protestant ethic, poverty is considered a sign of indolence, dirtiness, stupidity, immorality, and worthlessness. In a God-conscious society, however, many persons voluntarily decide to dedicate their lives not to material acquisition, but rather to the pursuit of knowledge and spirituality. Thus, a preference for the simple and the austere may indicate intelligence, self-control, and sensitivity to the higher purpose of life. Of course, in itself, poverty does not establish these virtues, but it may sometimes be the result of them. In the Kali Yuga, however, this possibility is often forgotten. Intellectuality is another casualty of the bewildering age of Kali. Modern so-called philosophers and scientists have created a technical, esoteric terminology for each branch of learning. And when they give lectures, people consider them learned simply because of their ability to speak that which no one else can understand. In Western culture, the Greek sophists were among the first to systematically argue for rhetoric and, quote-unquote, efficiency above wisdom and purity. And sophistry certainly flourishes in the 20th century, and the 21st also. Modern universities have very little wisdom, though they do possess a virtual infinity of technical data. Although many modern thinkers are fundamentally ignorant of the higher spiritual reality, they are, so to speak, quote-unquote, good talkers. And most people simply don't notice their ignorance. Lingame vashramakya tav anyonya patikaranam avritya nyaya darbalyam panditye chapalam vachav. A person's spiritual position will be ascertained merely according to external symbols. And on that same basis, people will change from one spiritual order to the next. A person's propriety will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living. And one who is very clever at juggling words will be considered a learned scholar. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shumati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavari Paschityadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasini Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yes, so continuing the very cutting analysis of the situation in Kali Yuga, and of course, whatever is being stated here has already come to be. It is already like that in so many ways. A person's propriety will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living. According to Western law, a person can be arrested for vagrancy if he does not have money in his pockets. Yes. So you're considered, a criminal. Or at least, effectively, criminal, but certainly an undesirable, highly questionable, and really unworthy person if you don't have money. How you got it, that's at best the second point to be considered, but it may be the last. So, yes, Kali Yuga, it's what has been described here in the previous verse is already completely in effect, totally. And the previous verse we read one of the other days is already so much in effect. It's amazing, actually. And this is written thousands of years ago, that people would understand. Of course, we know they're divinely inspired, and more than divinely inspired. They are actually directly the divinity, or directly connected with the divinity. So therefore they know. But if you think about it, Srimad Bhagavatam has been existent for some thousands of years. Of course, we know 5,000, but at least according to the material scholars and people like that, at least for a couple of thousand years, they would say something like that, something. But even from that point of view, from a couple of thousand years ago, that the people would have so much insight into what civilization would be like today in 2012. It's quite outstanding, actually. So this is Shastra. This is Shastra. This is scripture. And scripture means it is definitely on the divine transcendental platform. And divine in the sense that at the very least, it is coming from someone who possesses the highest possible qualification in spiritual life. People like Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, Uddhava, Maitreya, these people, they possess the highest possible qualifications in Krishna consciousness, the highest possible qualifications in terms of love of God, the highest possible qualifications in terms of understanding God, the highest possible qualifications in terms of, even just by ordinary standards, cultivating spiritual qualities like humility, patience, tolerance, gentleness, mercy, cleanliness, generosity, these types of very important, even just sattvic qualities. Of course, they possess them in Krishna conscious ways, but still, to the external observer, they can be seen so clearly that their characters are just of the highest, highest quality. Amazing quality. So these literatures, the Vedic scriptures, are coming from people like that, and not from, well, from the types of people these verses are talking from, sinful people who are addicted to materialistic activity and even grossly materialistic activity, and who, if examined, can be seen to not even really possess those sattvic qualities, even from the material point of view. What to speak of real God consciousness like this? I read some years ago that the Pope, at least I think it was the previous Pope, his favorite foodstuff was what? not Garanga potato. As some devotees say when it's Ekadasi, and other devotees ask them, what would you like for prasadam? Some devotees reply, anything as long as it's Garanga potatoes. So, the Pope, you ask him, what's your favorite prasadam? First of all, he won't know what you're talking about. But, yes, not some very pleasant sattvic type of prasadam as mentioned by Lord Krishna in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, foods in the mode of goodness. Not like that. His favorite foodstuff is the flesh, not just of cows, but of baby cows. They call it veal. Anyway, Hare Krishna. And in that regard, they have a special slaughterhouse in the Vatican just for the Pope. Anyway, Hare Krishna, what can you say? And it truly is just a living, vivid demonstration of exactly what's being stated here. It's amazing. The lack of spiritual qualification and people like that, what sort of scripture are they going to come up with? It's just going to be confusion, materialism. And this is why, well, this is part of the reason why Srila Prabhupada, whenever he would meet with Christians, of course he was not a person by upbringing who was familiar with the Bible as some of us are, to some degree at least. And when Srila Prabhupada would preach with Christians, he would stick on certain points, particularly thou shalt not kill. He would really stick on that point. And their conversations of Srila Prabhupada with some Christian priest, you know, there's a few, in which Prabhupada is just sort of drilling on this point. What about meat eating? What about meat eating? And then the person says, well, can we talk about something else? Which, from their point of view, might be reasonable, but basically means he wants to escape. That's all. So Kali Yuga. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching to Christians or anybody, at least when he was preaching to Christians, there's one conversation, at least one, like room conversation, Srila Prabhupada is there, some preachers, some Christians are there, and Prabhupada starts preaching to them in these types of ways we mentioned. But then one of his Western disciples there decided that to preach to these people, Christians, we're going to have to give them, you know, establish some things on the basis of the Bible. So he actually interrupted Srila Prabhupada and started giving some quotations from the Bible about whatever, something which sort of agrees with Krishna consciousness. But then Srila Prabhupada interrupted him and told him, no, we don't want to talk on the basis, on that basis. We'll simply talk on the basis of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna consciousness, as such. Because that their scriptures are extremely inconsistent and unreliable. In other words, you'll see there are some clear statements about not eating meat. Some very clear statements. But then there's some very clear statements saying that it's fine to eat meat. And so what can you do? But in Krishna consciousness, in real scripture, in the Vedic scriptures, then you can find clarity. And even in some cases where there may apparently be some contradictions to some degree, then it is possible on the basis of Shastra to explain those so one understands in context where the sort of non-standard understanding can be seen from a certain perspective and not as being possibly absolute. Yes. So, here, a person's spiritual position will be ascertained merely according to external symbols, and on that same basis, people will change from one spiritual order to the next. Srila Prabhupada himself told of his own experience when he was a child and, like, teenager, growing up in his father's house in Calcutta, that there was one man. He was a professional beggar. He was a professional beggar. It is at least compared to being a laborer, it's quite a lucrative way to live, lucrative occupation. I know in Jaipur, just recently, like maybe 2 years ago, the city administration wanted to get the beggars off the street because it's a tourist city and, you know, it's relatively nice place. Many Westerners come and it's difficult for them to deal with the beggars. So what the government city administration did was create employment for these people and take them off the road and put them into, like, many of them are ladies with children, small children. Took them off the road and gave them jobs like as maids and household assistants, that sort of thing. But the income they could offer them for that domestic type of work was much less than what they were getting doing the pick on the street. And so all of them, in a very short period of time, were back out on the street. And they were not willing to go and take up the employment. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada, as a youth, it's there in the Lilamrita, he had the experience. There was one man who was a professional beggar, and his spot for begging, his spot was right near their house. And at a certain time in the day, that man would put on saffron, like a sannyasi or some sort of celibate renunciate, and he would beg in those clothes because certain people were coming who were more inclined towards that. And then at other times of the day, he would put on white. And because there are people coming along who would prefer to give to someone wearing white. Or maybe he would just tell them different things and different strategies. He's collecting for different things. Collecting for an ashram or collecting just because he's poor. Depends on the audience. Different techniques will be more effective. So there you have an example. A person is adopting the external symbols of different ashrams and just depending on the time of the day. So this is This is terrible, actually. It's shocking, completely shocking, that people can do like this. There's, right at this moment in ISKCON, there is a sort of a, at least shall we say, a debate going on. Some would say there's a dichotomy, but there's certainly a discussion going on about the practice of a few senior devotees of doing kirtan, public kirtan programs, in the company of some more or less materialistic people who somehow are into kirtan and who are very successful in terms of attracting the public to singing kirtan, although they're not really devotees. They're not devotees, certainly not in the real sense of practicing Krishna consciousness and sincerely wanting to develop one's relationship with Krishna. They're good singers, and they just somehow they like mantras, and they like chanting Hare Krishna. They also like to chant Durga mantras. So, you know, it's like that. But they're extremely popular. They're really extremely popular. And one or some of those people are disciples of a person called Baba Ram Das. Have you ever heard of him? He's American, from the hippie era. And he was very, I don't know about now, I think he's dead actually. But in those days, in the 60s, he was famous, as he had been to India and got some concocted philosophy, become initiated by some bogus guru, really bogus guru. But he was very clever at presenting things. And he wrote a book called Be Here Now. Very famous. But he was, wow, just in a pathetic condition, if you consider from the point of view of what condition someone should be in to advance in spiritual life. It was just outright materialistic, mental speculator. So some of the devotees, so some of these kirtan people are disciples of him, and they glorify him. So one of the devotees who does not appreciate those kirtan people, he brought up some of that history, and some of the history of Baba Ram Das, and he gave a link on YouTube to a video of Baba Ram Das explaining the following. Baba Ram Das was in the queue outside a pornographic movie theater in New York, and it was a homosexual pornographic movie was showing, and he was in the queue waiting to buy a ticket to go and watch it. Hare Krishna. And as he was standing there waiting, just sort of the queue was going onto the street, and it's central New York, there's quite a few people around. One young fellow, like late teenage, sort of hippie, innocent young fellow, came walking past, saw him, Baba Ram Das, in the queue, and said, "Oh, Baba Ram Das," like my hero. But then the young fellow saw that Baba Ram Das was in the queue to buy a ticket, to pay money, to see a homosexual pornographic film. And the poor young fellow got bewildered, you know. What? Why are you here? What's going on? And Baba Ram Das and the audience watching this, because it's a public program he's conducting and being videoed, And he's presenting this as the purport says, he's a good talker. He's a very good talker. Very charismatic, humorous, and, you know, very expert. And the audience, as he's explaining all these things, the development of the story, the audience are just loving it. The spiritual audience at the spiritual program with the big, really big time guru. They're just laughing and just, oh, it's just fantastic. So Baba Ram Das says in there, the video, I thought, I could see he was shocked and surprised and couldn't understand what I was doing in such a place. So the thought came into my mind, maybe I should just walk around the block, make it look like I just sort of was just coincidentally standing here, but actually I wasn't part of the queue, and just walk on like, you know, it's okay. But then he thought that no, why do that? That would be artificial. You know, the philosophy is be here now. So he thought, I should be here now and not worry about it. Just don't get mental. Just do it. Be here now. If it feels good, do it. So he did. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. So, of course, you know, that was the hippie period in the Western world. But still, nowadays, some things like this go on. Things like this definitely go on. It's truly bizarre. And it's just showing. It is truly Kali Yuga. It's truly Kali Yuga. So, spirituality, you know, there are even, as you're probably aware, well, here in the purport, mention is made of the Protestant ethic. It is also called the Protestant work ethic. That working hard and becoming well situated materially is considered to be good in religious terms. So there are popular churches in Johannesburg, in Randburg, the Rima Church, where you are, the audience are, just not just encouraged, but they're pushed hard to make money, and it's the mercy of Jesus. And so you need the mercy of Jesus, yeah, go for it. So the situation in Kali Yuga, you know, we may look at the Vedic tradition and see the fall down of the Brahmins and how the Brahmins are corrupted now. The caste Goswamis. It's a terrible corruption. But that's child's play compared to some of these things. It's child's play. You know, they're almost like nice devotees. The caste Goswamis, the Babajis. See one, you see the Babajis at Radhakund. I mean the little lady widows at Radhakund sitting there, and little begging thing in front. And sometimes you see in it there's a BD. And you think, come on, Mataji, what are you doing? But compared to some of the things that are going on, that is just childish. It's extremely minor, although it's certainly a deep corruption, actually. But other manifestations, as we get in the Western world, it is just absurd corruption, just massive corruption. But due to the contamination of Kali Yuga, people don't understand that. They don't understand it. They don't recognize it. And therefore they don't react against it. And therefore when something genuine comes along, of course they cannot recognize that. But they apply other standards. And if the genuine thing does not conform in terms of the other standards like mentioned here, you must have money, then the genuine thing will not be taken seriously just on that basis. So yes, Kali Yuga turns everything upside down. Srila Prabhupada made the point that in the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in India, it was illegal to claim to be God unless you were. If you were, that was fine. If you weren't, it was a criminal activity. And it was actually, you know, with Bishakishen, if you remember Bishakishen, the mystic, who Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had arrested and jailed. So that Bishakishen, the British, of course, were ruling, and they were very much in charge. They didn't really care so much that he was claiming to be God. The problem, as far as they were concerned, was that he was trying to create a revolution against the British. Yeah, that's what he was trying to do. On the basis of Shastra and some sort of, you know, type of Vedic type perspective, they're all demons, we shouldn't be ruled by demons, which, you know, of course is true, but, you know, we don't, as practitioners of Krishna consciousness, we don't make a point of just becoming anti-government just because they're demons. Anyway, that was why the British wanted him arrested. As far as Bhaktivinoda Thakur was concerned, he was more concerned that this man is bogus and he's misleading people. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada made the point that in those days it was illegal to claim to be God if you were not. But Prabhupada made the point that now, you may be big bogus avatar and just, you know, really total upper sampradaya and hopeless from the spiritual point of view. But not only will you not be arrested, if you create a legal organization for your preaching and whatever, in many countries the government will give you tax exemption, give you special privileges. Who is tax exempt? No one. Only people who are doing very good work, they may get some tax exemption for their good work. So Prabhupada made that point that Ravana, what was his business? Stealing Sita. And who is Sita? She's Lakshmi. So nowadays people are stealing Lakshmi. You know, they're making money in the name of religion, but it's all bogus. So they're all Ravanas, and now the government is supporting the Ravanas. Steal Lakshmi. Very good. So yes, Kali Yuga. So then, this Protestant work ethic is mentioned here, and it is, I mean, you could hardly put it more strongly, poverty is considered a sign of indolence, means laziness, dirtiness, stupidity, immorality, and if that's not enough, worthlessness. So, but the fact is that the Brahmins, the sannyasis, the brahmacharis, the vanaprastas, all, according to the Vedic system, Vanashram society, all the members of the society, except for the grihastas, should live very simple existences and not have big, comfortable houses and facilities like that. Simple living, high thinking. The grihastas, depending on their position in society, but for the general grihasta, the principle of simple living and high thinking is still meant to be at the forefront. Even though, of course, for any, say, average householder with a family, then, of course, some reasonable accommodation is required, and clothing and foodstuffs and so like that. More so than the brahmacharis, vanaprastas and sannyasis. So, and for the brahmacharis, vanaprastas and sannyasis to live a very simple life, a very simple life, and really have very little in the way of possessions, that is good, that is conducive for their spiritual development. So, but such persons, as we mentioned, according to current day society, could be arrested for vagrancy. This is the law, at least in New Zealand it's the law. If you have less than something like $5 in your pocket, you can be arrested for vagrancy. Yeah. So, of course, just living in poverty or just living in very, very simple conditions does not necessarily at all mean that you are just on that basis going to advance spiritually. But these things often help spiritual advancement. And of course the descriptions there in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni met Nalakuva and Manigriva, who were extremely wealthy and who were bewildered by their wealth and had become completely degraded by their wealth. So Narada Muni, he understood they actually from a very good family. They are the sons of Kuvera. He's one of the important demigods, and you know he's like a Vedic authority to some degree, Kuvera. And these are his sons, but they've become just like malechas and just animalistic. So Narada Muni thought what to do to help them. And it's described in detail there in the 10th canto. His decision was, put them in poverty. Put them in poverty. This is the particular methodology to be applied for these people. Different people take different strategies to get them to become Krishna conscious. Narada Muni's conclusion was they should be put into poverty because they had become Narada Muni, great saintly person and extremely famous. Everybody knows who Narada Muni is. He comes by and these two young men, they should immediately offer obeisances and offer all respect and accompany Narada Muni and assist him and like that. But they saw him, they were just frolicking around with no clothes on. They saw him and they just carried on. And Narada understood they had become polluted, very deeply polluted by their wealth. and their hearts have become hard because of their wealth. And so even in a situation like that, they just cannot, there's no response, no reaction. They just carry on. And this sort of consciousness leads to animal killing and abuse of other people when people become hard-hearted due to attachment to wealth. So he cursed them to become trees, because he knew that when people are placed in poverty, then they learn, at least if they have some potential, they learn certain important lessons. Like when they see other people who are in poverty, then they understand, oh, that person's suffering like me. And then some compassion arises. So that's described there, how this being placed in poverty helped them to get free from particularly that most gross contamination they had of being excessively attached to wealth and the supposed position in society that comes with wealth, and the exploitative and abusive type of mentality that can easily arise if a person has wealth and is very attached to it just for selfish purposes. Yes, so this is Kali Yuga, and as he says, people are considered learned simply because of their ability to speak that which no one else can understand. He must be very intelligent, because I couldn't understand it. It's like the king has no an intellectual form of the king has no clothes. They have no real idea. They certainly have no idea of any value, but because they can present it in a very sophisticated way, people think it must be really intellectually valuable. So Srila Prabhupada, when he came, of course Srila Prabhupada was, even by material standards, well educated. From a scientific background, and he was a Shastri. He was a scholar, a real scholar of the Vedic literatures. It's amazing. You see the verses that Srila Prabhupada quotes. He was extremely well versed. But when he presented Krishna consciousness, he would not present it in that sort of flowery type of way. Very straightforward presentation, giving the truth. And those who were sincere, not just those who like to be amused and entertained and all that in a spiritual type of way, but those who really wanted to understand the truth, they would see that here is someone who's actually giving it. And on that basis, Krishna consciousness has spread. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comment or question? Maharaj, please enlighten us. I've bewildered everyone. Anyone else? Some comments or questions? Yes.
Maharaj, he said that the golden age in Kali Yuga.
Right.
So, maybe enlightenment is this already said up to the next 10,000 years.
That's what not just the devotees say, but there's some Shastric statements to that effect. It starts from the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, so it's already 500 plus years started, and goes on for 10,000 years, and the movement of Lord Chaitanya increases and increases and increases, and gradually becomes the predominant influence in human society. But then at some point, as Kali Yuga starts to develop more and more, then Krishna consciousness starts to sort of reduce, at least initially in influence, and then just reduce and reduce and reduce until after 10,000 years, or 9,500 from now, then it's more or less underground. Yeah. And then it remains underground for, you know, a few hundred thousand years till the end of Kali Yuga. Because Kalki is born of parents who were underground devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki.